Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea. Got my handy dandy Gemini cup, and let's chat about what's going on up in the stars above our heads as we begin this fifth day of December. I cannot even believe we are in December. I can't believe that we are less one day less than seven on our way to the Astrology of 2020 workshop that I'm putting on next Wednesday, December 11th. There is still time to get a ticket. We are still under the 100 threshold, and that's the time constraint, right? As soon as we reach 100, no one else can participate, which, sad to say, is not a very high number, but it gets there very quickly. So get your tickets now. You have two options to do that. You can either pay the $25 to go to the webinar, or to also receive the recording of the webinar once we're done, or you can join the Living Astrology Academy membership group. And with your $13 a month, you get to come to not only an Astrology for 2020 webinar, but also the monthly webinars and other things that will come up throughout the year. So, welcome everybody. I'm glad to see you. I missed you all yesterday as I was out and about rushing around doing chores, if you will. But I got to tell you, I had a most wonderful evening. You know, every once in a while, something comes along in these very serious days of the world, kind of crashing down around us, when something magnificent happens, something life-affirming happens, something joyful happens. And last night, I was at a recital for my granddaughter's dance academy, and the girls ranged in age from the super teeny tiny, like, I don't know, maybe 2 years old, if that, on up to teenagers and maybe even young women and men that were, I don't know, maybe 18 or so. And watching these kids pour their heart into dancing was a sight. I mean, my heart was lifted. There wasn't a person in that auditorium last night whose heart wasn't lifted watching these two little 2-year-olds dance. And it wasn't just the 2-year-olds. I mean, everybody did a fabulous job. So it was really heartwarming and boosting to see that there still is something good here on this planet. You know, sometimes we're so caught up in the uglies, right? That we forget, why are we here, right? We're here to live, love, and laugh. And we did that last night, and it was awesome. And I got to tell you, something else very odd was going on yesterday. This happens to me periodically where I go through these times of I'll be in a low, a melancholic state. We call it an emotional low. The plateau. What's the other term I always use? Just the wave, right? I'm in the low part of the emotional wave. And yesterday, coming out of it, there was a run of numbers, right? I'm always sort of paying attention, but I hadn't seen a run of numbers in a very long time. And it started yesterday at 222. And every triple digit number after that I saw up until 555, and that's because there is no 666 on the clock or 777. So I 11, I didn't see that one either, but 222, 333, 444, 555, and I'm like, okay. And it wasn't even like I was looking for it. Like, my granddaughter was sitting to my right, and she's showing me her new phone, which happens to be an iPhone 11. I'm so jelly. And her clock turns 555 right in that moment. I'm like, what? And that's after I was sitting in the car waiting for my husband to finish work, and my friend Londa calls me, and it was 444. I'm like, what in the heck? Actually, I called Londa, or maybe she called me. I don't remember now, Londa. But it was 444, and I was like, okay. So, interesting day, tapping into the magic. Don't know what the magic was trying to show me or what, but it doesn't really matter. It was just kind of magical. Maybe it was a note that, something lifting and life-affirming was going to be happening. So, wonderful stuff. When you're paying attention, sometimes this wonderful magical stuff just sort of appears. Let's say good morning to people who are showing up out here. We have Allison, good morning, and Elisa, and Asa and Londa and Linda. Great to see you, Linda and Colleen McSpirit, Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel, Mimi. Good morning, everybody. Londa, we love you too, sweetie. Jan Landry, good morning. So we have our crew gathering with us this morning to hear about the energy of the day. And let's hope that I don't do something that disconnects me today. I'm not, again, I just have two, today I have two papers. That's it. That's sitting on my computer. So we should be fine. So as we begin the day today, we have the moon in Pisces, but in void, of course, which means kind of a stale moon, no new contacts being made. It kind of puts a stopper a little bit, a slowdown on all of our activities. And the moon will stay void until 11:45 a.m. Pacific time, which is about 2:45 p.m. for you all on the East Coast, when she will shift out of Pisces and into the sign of Aries. Woohoo! Aries moons, very busy moons, but also inclined to be more emotionally volatile. So we might have emotional explosions. We might find ourselves in conflict or confrontation of sorts, but it doesn't have to be a bad thing, right? This can be you learning how to be in response as opposed to being reactionary. So let's take a look at what the moon in Aries can bring to us. First of all, the one word that comes to my mind as soon as I hear Aries or I hear Mars, I think bold, right? Bold in taking action, bold in approach, bold in how you and we carry ourselves out in the world. And Aries being the first sign of the zodiac brings us to all things new, right? Fresh starts. It also gives us a sense of courage to take steps that we haven't been willing to take or we haven't had the courage to take action upon. So we get a dose of courage to take action. And we also get the bursts of energy to support the action that we want to take. So here we have the recipe for movement, for dynamic motion, and that also brings up then what kind of action is it that you're going to take? A lot of times when we get the moon moving into Aries, we have other things that are showing us sort of the stop signs or at least the slowdown yield signs. And what is that going to be for you today? And we're going to talk about what that might be as soon as we finish talking about Aries itself. So we do have a bit of feeling like our foot's on the gas and our foot's on the brake. Maybe we're moving two steps forward, but we're also going one step backwards. And all of that is meant to put us in the right place at the right time with the right people. Timing. There's a big timing issue as we go through the rest of this week. Now, we also have leadership energy in Aries. Some of you may be asked to step up to the plate, right? Some of you may be asked to take on the mantle of some form of leadership, or even in your own world, you may make a decision that, you know, if I don't do it, no one will. So you take on this leadership. And there's also an energy about doing it on your own. Aries is very independent energy, and it likes to be independent. It doesn't like the idea of being dependent. And I don't think that in the sign of Aries, interdependency has dawned on them yet, right? Interdependency is being modeled to us now with Chiron in Aries. So we may be in a position then as we move forward in the next few days to understand interconnectedness and how we're all weaved together in this life. And no one woman, no one man is an island. We all need each other, right? It might be taking a look around you and seeing that there really is a support system for you, not because you want to give away your power to a support system, but because they're there for support. When you're down, they can bring you up. When you're down or when they're down, you bring them up, right? It's how we are all here together. There's also an energy of beingness, right? There's doingness in Aries because of Mars and his action potential. There's also beingness in Aries because it is literally the first sign of the zodiac. It is about birthing. It is about coming into being. So we have beingness and doingness coexisting in a sign that likes to take action and gets a little bit impatient when action is stalled. So we have to weigh the two. We have to bring them into harmony. And wouldn't you know it, today's word for the Pleiadian energy is about harmony, harmonizing. Interesting kind of energy mix here today. In beingness, we have the energy of finding your own personal authority and claiming it and living from it, doing what's correct for you. Because ultimately, what is correct for you, or what feels good to you, or what comes from your heart, your very beingness, is good for everyone around you, even if it is something that is disappointing to someone else. If you're following what's good for you, it opens the doorway for everyone around you to do what's good for them. And we are also learning about taking responsibility for our own selves, for our own lives, for our own condition, for the circumstances that we find ourselves in, and for our reactions to those circumstances. Sometimes there are circumstances outside of your control, but what you have the control over is how you respond to what shows up in your world. So we're learning about that also today for the next couple of days while the moon transits through Aries energy. Now, if we look at the more negative aspects, or the more complicated aspects of Aries, we get this energy of fight that gets triggered within us. And it's about risk taking on some levels. And I checked in this morning just because I wanted to see where the moon was, what gate the moon was at in your human design chart. And I'm going to show that to you right now. Here's the chart for the morning. And right now we have the moon sitting right here on the emotional center at gate 36, which is the gate of crisis and chaos, turbulence in the shadow. In its highest expression, it takes boredom and restlessness and puts it to work and expresses it through the throat in boundlessness, right? This is a gate up here, 35, where the sun is sitting, of boundlessness. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a little bit. But boundlessness energy connected to turbulence can make for a lot of leaping into or out of things, a lot of knee-jerking reactions to what the moon is bringing to us today, both out in the outer world, but maybe also in our personal lives. So we want to take care here, at least for the morningness. As we move later into the day, the moon will get out of the gate 36, and it will jump over here into the gate 25, which is the gate of the love of spirit, universal love, right? The gate 25 sits on the identity center. It is one of the cross-quarter gates. It is involved in the incarnation cross of the vessel of love. It is purely and simply that collective, universal kind of love energy. So we move out of the chaos and over into that love energy. Now, unfortunately, sometimes it means too that what we see out in the world is anything but loving. And it is incumbent upon us as individuals to restore love and apply love in our own lives, even if there is an unloving kind of energy that we're seeing in the outer world. So we have that going on. We are also sort of in a stubborn phase, a phase where we don't want to back down from our positions, right? In our country here in the USA, you see it between the, you know, Democrats and Republicans. No one wants to back down. No one wants to appear to be weak in their position, even though they're all weak in their positions at this point in time. They just don't see it yet. And so we have in ourselves this own disparity, this energy of holding on and digging in and being stubborn and enduring and persevering through things that do they really even matter, versus this needing to let go and surrender and find a better route, find a better harmony, find a better balance. And in that, we might find sometimes people, we might come up against people with aggressive attitudes who are picking fights with us. As soon as I see the moon in Aries, I think to myself, Janet, don't sweat the small stuff, right? Don't sweat the small stuff, because that can be what happens too. We get into this nitpicky thing, and every little thing that someone does is getting on your very last nerve, and you end up picking fights or creating conflict or getting into a confrontation over something stupid, right? Something so small and inconsequential. And then it leads to a bigger confrontation. So we want to watch that today as well. Don't pick fights, not just today, by the way. And by the way, this isn't enacted until later in the day, after 2:45 for you guys on the East Coast and 11:45 for us here on the West Coast. For those of you in other countries in Europe and so forth, likely that energy happens for you guys after you go to bed tonight, or later in the evening at least. So you wake up to it tomorrow morning. So your day tomorrow may start off with high energy and the potential for some conflicts and confrontational energy. So you guys will want to watch that, because it will inflame your whole day, right? If you wake up in confrontation, or you wake up into conflict, or that, you know, angry feeling, it can color your whole day. And so you want to be careful for that. And of course, the best way through all of the Aries energies, the emotional energy, is to check the emotion, right? Check it, like keep it until you understand what it's about. What is it telling you about you? What is it telling you about where your mind is, where your thoughts are? And move, go into the heart space and create an expression of the world, of your emotion from your heart and not from your mind or in your knee-jerking reactive selves. We get another opportunity to play with learning about responding as opposed to reacting. And for some of us, that's easier than others. I can tell you that. Let's see other comments here. Rebecca, great to see you. And Karen Devine, great to see you. Amy, good morning. And Heather Scott, good morning to you. Nice to see everybody out there in the world joining us this morning. Now, let's talk about what some of the challenges, as if the moon in Aries isn't a challenge, let's talk about some of the challenging aspects that the moon may be making that cause us to grow and evolve, right? That resistance energy, that when we're moving two pieces of flint together, that creates a spark that starts a fire, right? That can be used for good or for ill. So we want to learn how we can use the energy of resistance for taking ourselves on the next rung of the spiral of evolution. So we get right into it this afternoon as soon as the moon moves into Aries, because it comes into a square with Jupiter in Capricorn. And woohoo, here we go. This is going to be this, we're going to hear this mantra on and off throughout 2020, right? All of the times a planet's moving through Aries or Libra or Cancer, we're going to come into some kind of energy that affects those planets in Capricorn. And now that we have Jupiter in Capricorn, the question becomes, what is the true right next thing for you to take action on? And that can create inner conflict. So everything that we were pretty much talking about before about Aries, the Aries moon, was about the outer world and how it creates conflict between us and the outer world. But what about the inner conflict? Because that's apparent as well, right? In fact, often the outer world is just a picture of what's been going on within, right? So the outer world shows you, reflects to you what has been going on within you. So if you're seeing conflict and confrontation or challenges or impatience and all of that in the outer world, then what is going on within you? And here's where we get the opportunity to put what we know to be true about ourselves to the test, to put it to work for ourselves. And if this is an outer world expression of, say, what next steps do I take in my career? What next steps do I take in achieving health? What next steps do I take in achieving a peaceful relationship? Then now is the time where that's going to be triggered within all of us as we look to the first major action of the moon with Jupiter since his move into Capricorn. And guess who else is there? Aries is the home right now of Chiron. And Chiron and the moon will come into a conjunction very soon after the moon moves into Aries. So we have the setup for also having a trigger point to our wounds, right? To having something that triggers our need to become more self-sufficient, perhaps, or triggers us if we've become the over independent type to become more of an interdependent type, right? We're looking at interconnectedness, interdependency. How do we all fit together as individual pieces of the puzzle, but also as a part of the whole or the whole tapestry? So triggers coming up later, almost immediately after Aries, the moon moves into Aries with both Jupiter in Capricorn and Chiron in Aries. So it doesn't have to be a bad thing. These can be triggers that cause you to release something, to surrender, to just take the leadership of something and take on a project, or to act with courage in letting something go. So that causes me to want to share something with you, a personal little story for me from the other day, in that I was invited by a friend to participate in something. And at first blush, it seemed, you know, like this would be really interesting. And I know as soon as I get something from this particular friend, I always feel the pressure to say yes. And that's just been, you know, she's been a great teaching device for me throughout the last several years. Wow, like 11 years since she's been friends with me. And I sat with this for a number of days as I was considering. I knew in my feeling field, in my emotional field, that I didn't want to participate. But also I was in then a little bit of an oppositional state with my mind that was telling me, you know, why don't you want to participate in this? This sounds really good. So my mind and my emotions were at loggerheads. And so I waited until the very last second, God help me, to give her an answer about what I was going to do about this. And finally, a learning huge lesson for me is that I finally came down on my side. I came down on the side of me saying, I don't know necessarily what my resistance is to doing this. I don't know why I'm feeling like this isn't right for me. But for right now, I'm saying, no, I can't participate. I don't want to participate in this right now. It doesn't mean no, not ever. But for right now, this isn't the correct move for me. And she sent me back a quick email that said, thank you. I love you. And we're still friends, right? I think people, if you're like me, sometimes you think if you're going to claim your own way and you're going to claim your own authority, that people aren't going to like you, right? That they're going to not still be your friend. Maybe they're going to abandon you. There's a lot of, maybe you feel like you're betraying somebody. There's a lot of deeper emotional shadows that get triggered when we have to stand up for ourselves. But let me tell you how good it feels when you do it. And one of the ways that I positioned it to her is that, yeah, I could say yes, but because I already know my own emotional self is not really all on board, then I wouldn't be contributing to the level that I think you would want me to contribute. So in that case, I wouldn't be an asset to the group. I would actually be a drain on the group. And so having that kind of a conversation with ourselves is very important in healing the wound that might be triggered with the moon's move into a conjunction with Chiron, but also in you actually claiming your own sovereignty, your own sovereign self as a part of also a group, right? We know if we know ourselves well enough, and we know that this isn't quite the right thing, then why would you add your energy to something that's really going to drag it down? So we're balancing, right? We're balancing interdependence balancing independence versus dependence and becoming interconnected and interdependent with one another. And that's not only us as individuals, but that's us as systems even. Right? The systems of government or the systems, the institutions, the medical, the economy, all of these huge systems are all interdependent. They don't see it that way. They all behave as if there's some sort of independent system. And of course, that is why there's a lot of chinks in the armor, a lot of things that are falling apart system-wide in the world, because these things aren't true, right? We have to come to a place where we're interdependent and not independent or dependent. I hope that makes sense to everybody. Let's see what everybody's saying about that. Linda Marie, good morning. How do I find out which house the Jupiter in Capricorn is in my chart? Well, if you have your chart, Linda, look for the symbol that looks like a 76. That's what it always reminds me of. Here, let me show it to you here. So you're going to find the zodiac sign that looks like this, right? This highlighted one. Let me see. I can't see this very well. There we go. See the 76? It looks like a 76. That is Capricorn. And Jupiter is this symbol right up here that looks like a parentheses with a plus sign next to it. And it's at 0 degrees right here. It's at 0 degrees of Capricorn. So here's the symbol for Capricorn and the symbol for Jupiter. And wherever you find those in your chart should tell you what house it's in. But let me tell you, like, for example, in this particular chart, and this is the chart of the day. So this isn't a person's chart. This is just the chart of the day. If you look at this Jupiter in Capricorn, at 0 degrees, Capricorn is in the first house of this chart. But Capricorn, here's this dividing line right here. Capricorn takes up a little piece of the first house and the bulk of the second house. So it may look like that in your own chart as well, where Jupiter might be in Capricorn in your X house, but will move forward further into Capricorn into a different house. So for most people, I would say it's going to be like that in some way, shape, or form, where there's an overlap, if you will, of the sign over the houses. Hope that makes sense, Linda. And you can always, shoot me off a picture of your chart as well, and I can help you pinpoint it. Good morning, Catherine Worcester and Latricia. Great to see you ladies out there with us this morning. Okay, so any questions, go ahead and put those in there. And let's take a look now at the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. I hope you guys are really enjoying working with the Pleiadian Earth energy, with the calendar and with the astrology. I'm loving it because I'm seeing how it's like seeing through the different systems and how they're all interconnecting in some way. Like, instead of seeing things linearly, I'm really finding that I'm seeing this web of things that are coherent in some way that I hadn't seen before. Even though I think, at times I would perceive that things were like that. But here it's right every day, almost another validation that we're living in a web, that we're living in an interconnected world where there's coherence between all of these systems. And the Pleiadian Earth energy just allows us to see things in a way other than linear, right? It's a spiral. And as soon as we come to the end of the week, the 13, then we start on the 1 and we're on the next level. As soon as we come to the end of the 20th sign of the Earth energies, we are on a new level of the conscious spiral of the Earth. So we have, and these things and these cycles, they interconnect and they bring us new possibilities. So I hope you guys are enjoying that. If you have not purchased yet your calendar, the 2020 calendar, I got mine back in September, I think it was. You can still purchase this, right? And if you want to know, I know you can get it on Amazon, but then the author doesn't get very much money out of that. Amazon takes, a good percentage of it. So if you'd like, I will post the email or the link where you can purchase this from Pia Orlean and Colin Baird Smith. They are the ones who did the Pleiadian Earth Energy Calendar. And then, of course, with that also comes, you can purchase the book of Pleiadian Earth Energy Astrology, which it's not that bad. And I find it quite useful in helping me understand what is going on through this particular kind of astrology or this particular calendar. Jan, great question. Which is better to go by, in your opinion, Whole House or Placidus? Well, that depends largely on where you were born. That's my opinion, right? I always use Placidus until and unless I find someone who was born way north or even way south. So people born closer, I guess it's more effective up here in the northern hemisphere because there's a bigger chunk of land above the 60th parallel. And that is, or the 60th latitude line. And if someone is born that far north, the houses can get very skewed. They can become very big and or very teeny. And so it just kind of skews the chart. So whole sign or equal sign work best in that situation. But I've always used Placidus, and rarely have I, you know, used the other system, but I have used it. And it is interesting to take a look at your own chart, Jan. If you know enough astrology, do a chart for both and see if there's any change in how you feel about what you're seeing in the chart. I did that with my group of people that I'm teaching astrology to. I asked them to, you know, do their chart in both equal house and in Placidus or even any other style and see what they thought. How did it change what the chart looked like, what the chart felt like to them? So go ahead and try that and see. In my case, it doesn't make any difference really in my chart. Somebody, Asa, I think, who listens to us here in the morning, hers made a big difference because she had so many planets in a very small area of her chart. It helped to spread them out into houses that were a little bigger. So try it and see. My chart almost completely changes houses between the two systems. So then the next question becomes, what resonates more with you? You know, what do you resonate more with? Where were you born to, Jan? That's another question to see if there's a reason even to change the house system. So I hope that helps. I know that's vague without me being able to see your chart and, you know, having, I don't think I've ever done a reading for you. So I can't even be helpful in terms of telling you what that might mean. But because you know your own self, check it out and see what you feel about it. All right. Thank you. That was a great question. Let's go back to the Pleiadian Earth energy of the day. We are in 9 enlightening energy today, which enlightening is the Earth energy. And in the Maya calendar, it was Ahau. It is the 20th Earth sign. So we are in the final Earth sign of the 20-day round of signs. And the 9 is the universal energy of the day. It is the energy of harmony or harmonizing. It is where we bring together all of the different viewpoints, all the different perspectives, all the polarities, and we see the inherent harmony in them, right? The inherent harmony. And that's difficult for us as human beings right now. We are basically teenagers in this level of consciousness where we're moving into being able to see more and more the interconnectedness, the unity, the undermining of separation in favor of unity. And so we're still babes in the woods here, but a day like today might help us be able to bring those energies together. We might be able to see that harmony in interconnectedness, that web that I was talking about where all of the divine systems kind of crisscross and that there's this core of truth that runs through them all. And we can see sort of how even the ones that we want to reject are part of the whole. So we're seeing interconnectedness. We're creating a harmony, or the potential is that we can create a harmony out of opposites. Right? So if we look at the opposites in anything, what can we do to harmonize those two? In the world, there seems to be a vibe of cooperation on a day like today, and that we find out the secret of harmony, the secret of finding harmony lies in seeing the highest and best in all and seeing the highest and best in yourself coming from the heart. The moon helps us later with that. As the moon moves to the gate 25 in the identity center and the soul center, applying universal love to everything. So that's what our 9 energy of the day brings us. Enlightening energy is that opportunity to see multiple perspectives, right? To be able to see them all and not necessarily come down with an opinion on any one of them, just seeing them all, allowing them all to be. And it is about, by the way, when we're able to do that, when we're able to see these multiple perspectives without judging, without choosing, without competition, and without separation, you will know that that is a symptom of our rising consciousness. So you might see it in yourself personally, but you might also see it in some of the people that we see on the news, some of the people that are our leaders around the world. Somebody should step up here in our field of view that maybe embodies the symptoms of the rising of consciousness on the planet. And this is also an idealistic placement, as this moves us away from polarizing energy or moves us away from division. It has a tendency to help us see the bigger picture, right? The more harmonious view of the world. And when we set aside judgment, competition, and separation to achieve unity, then we are bringing out our light and seeing everybody else's light as well. So it's a process of accepting the light that we see in others, accepting the light that we see in ourselves, and applying that light, which is love, out to the world, and in a way, changing the world. We can change the world from the inside out, and we can do it by our individual allowing enlightening energy to move through us and allowing harmony, achieving harmony. So I love that. Okay. Questions, comments. Amy Moore says, mine is a huge difference, two stelliums in whole sign. Interesting. And how does that, if you try that on, how does that feel to you? And, you know, there's any number of ways to look at an astrology chart, which is why it's so much more complex than just the trite little, you know, things that people say, if you're a Gemini, this is this. There's just so much more to the picture that makes you you. You're not just a one dimension, right? You are a multiple dimensional being. And this is how we start to see that when we look at a chart and we go, wow, there's all of these things and how are they coming together? And what do I, you know, do in terms of changing who I am when I see these two different sets of energies in a chart, right? There's these two things. It's like in my own chart, I thought, well, what a joke on Janet is that, you know, a lot of my energy sit in places where it could be expressed in, through duality, right? Where I have a 29 degree Leo North node that the very next day was at 0 degrees Virgo. The trend was for the node to be moving into Virgo or out of Virgo and into Leo. But was I really still in Virgo or was I really still in Leo? And it's just that cuspiness. I'm sitting on the cusp of Gemini and Cancer. God. So through our charts, often we see the conundrums and the challenges in being able to work with all of the energies, no matter how they're expressed in the chart. And Amy, if Placidus resonates more with you, then stick with Placidus, right? That's the key, which one resonates more with you. And I know some of you out there are newer to astrology and you may be totally lost in what we're talking about. In what we're discussing is how it is that you apply the time of birth to the chart to determine the houses, how everything is going to line up. So I always use Placidus, right? So this is what the houses look like. And in this particular, well, you can see a couple of the houses here are smaller, you know, and some of them are bigger. And that's because right now I have the chart set for where I live, which is in the northern corner of Washington State. So I'm not necessarily close to the 60th parallel. I'm up at 48, but 48, 49, something like that. So, but I'm getting farther north, right? So this chart is set for a farther north city, and you can see the effect it's had. If I brought this down into whole sign or equal sign, this would look a lot different, right? So different houses come from, different house sizes and connections come from the time of birth, which is why the time of birth is so important, right? It gives us the entry point into how the houses will align. So when we don't have an accurate birth time, we don't always have an accurate placement of the planets in the houses. And it makes it difficult then. There are other ways for us to get to it, but it makes it a little bit more difficult, a little more challenging to get to what is correct for that person. Okay. Now, let's take a quick look at, yes, my whole chart changed my life because I think I'm just as much Gemini as I am Pisces. I forgot when your birthday is. Are you a Gemini sun and a Pisces moon, or do I have that backwards? Because no matter what, Gemini and Pisces are square to one another. So there's always a challenge between the Gemini and Pisces energy and Gemini and Virgo energy, and then an opposition from Gemini to Sagittarius energy. So it could be triggering, you know, planets that you have in all four of those signs. Okay, let's look at human design and the gene keys for a moment. The sun is sitting today at the gate five. The gate five, if I, can I highlight this? I don't think you'll see it all that well, but let's see if I can try this. The gate five, and then the gate 35 is up here. Okay, so the sun is sitting at the sacral right now with the gate five right here on the outer edge. And the sacral here moves up to the identity center. And these particular channels here, we call them tantric channels in human design, because they are an organizing force for the energies of the sacral. They move it up to the soul. There's a connection here. And Tantra, even though we think of it in terms of, you know, sexual practice or sexual spiritual practice, is actually about aligning our spirit and our physicality. So aligning the soul or the spirit with the physical, and then seeing how timing comes out of that. And timing here in the gate five is about the rhythm of the world, right? The rhythm of nature, being in the rhythm, being in time and not against time. And I'm not talking necessarily about time as a construct yet, but being in the right place at the right time with the right people and the right opportunity is kind of what this channel is all about, or what this gate is about. In its lowest expression, in the shadow, it is impatience. And it is where we're, like today, maybe chomping at the bit, where we just want to take some kind of action, any kind of action. And if we jump too soon or we take on the wrong opportunity, then it leaves us with little extra energy to do the right thing when the right thing comes along, right? And we may not always know what that's all about yet, because we can't always see the whole picture. But timing here is very, very important. And when we move out of the impatience shadow, we move into the gift of patience. And then ultimately, we transcend time altogether in the city, which is timelessness and time of no time, right? Where everything, we're just so in the flow, right? We're so in the flow that time is no concern. We're not watching the clock. We're not watching the calendar so much. We may know it's there and we may realize, oh yes, today's nine enlightening, but it isn't going to dictate what we do in terms of time, right? Patience and our actions. So the sun at gate five really gives us that sense of everything in its right, perfect time, everything divine timing versus my timing, seasons time, natural cycles of time, etc., tunes us in. And here, frankly, on the earth as human beings, we've gotten out of that sense of natural time. So consequently, we're not in alignment. Often we find ourselves showing up too soon or too late, and luck seems to pass us by, or opportunities pass us by, or we arrive too soon and we make a choice, and then later the best opportunity comes along and we can't take it because we've jumped too soon. So this gate is about putting us in natural cycles of time, being patient, and then knowing within that the universe will bring up the right thing at the right time. The earth now is always going to be in a challenge to the sun. That's how it works in human design. The earth presents the evolutionary energy for you on the planet. So an evolution then is a challenge, right? We're challenged by the energy of the sun, our identity, the potential of all that we could be, by the earth that says, okay, how are you going to use this energy to evolve, right? So the energy of evolution is a challenge to us. We are challenged to evolve along the line between the earth and the sun. Let me know if that makes sense to everybody, because I know it's a hard concept, because we think of, in astrology, we're thinking of the sun as the major focus. But here in human design, it's not so much that the sun doesn't have as much power. It's that they work together as a team, the sun and the earth do, to help us evolve. So what does the earth throw down as a gauntlet for us this week? It's about hunger. And not like my stomach is growling because I didn't eat breakfast. It is hunger, the deep needing, yearning within us to have adventure, to move out into the world, to have something more, to be something more, to feel like when things are at a standstill that we're restless or we're bored, and then we do things in a turbulent kind of way or in a chaos producing kind of way to break the boredom or to break the restlessness. And of course, then of course that creates all kinds of chaos. So that need, that hunger needs to be channeled from that vacuous feeling of I need to have something to adventure energy, which says, okay, what's showing up out here? What can I try? What can I take a calculated risk on that can be a bit of an adventure, or seeing life itself as an adventure? Even being on the plateau in human design can be an adventure, right? The highest energy then is boundlessness, that you're never bound like you think you are, right? Boundlessness. So the earth challenging us in ways to achieve boundlessness and timelessness. That's like having no boundaries. Boundlessness could be boundarylessness, right? Boundlessness, timelessness. But we have to go from hunger to adventure to boundlessness. And we have to go from impatience to patience to timelessness. And that takes our becoming more and more conscious about the actions we're taking, about what our mind is focused on, and about what we are doing here on the planet. You have to know yourself, right? Knowing yourself, the first key. If you don't know yourself, how can you ever manage these transiting energies coming through your life, right? You don't know what they mean for you if you are not in awareness of who you are, if you're not in awareness of what you're here to do, who you're here to be. Okay. Rebecca, love the way you put that, Janet. I don't know which one you're talking about, but great. Thank you, Rebecca. And Londa says she's on her way. Well, you could be on your way all you like, but my door's locked. So sit out in your car until I'm done. I'm almost done, Londa. The last thing I want to talk about today is, where is our fair feathered friend Mercury at today? And today's the day that Mercury moves out of the gate. Holy moly, I just lost it. What gate was Mr. Mercury at? He's been at the gate 43. Ah, yes, that's right. Because we had ideas and inspiration, and we had this sort of genius that we were meant to express over the last few days. And now he's moved to the gate 14, which is a money gate in human design. It is the gate in the highest expression in the gene keys is bounteousness. Bounteousness, not the quicker picker upper either kind. This is bounty, the kind that comes from the cornucopia that's full, right? It comes from having everything coming from fullness. And it is out of the shadow of compromise when we let go of our truths, when we don't see ourselves in our wholeness, that we can move, we get into lack, or we get into scarcity thinking. So we're challenged by Mercury for the next few days to move out of compromise and into competence, and ultimately into bounteousness. Now, I always have a problem with this gene key. And it's mostly because of the word compromise, because compromise, isn't that one of the Libra things that we're learning about? Co-creation, compromise, cooperation, right? So in some cases, you know, compromise is a word that has a couple of different meanings. I should have gotten the dictionary. I did not. But, you know, on one hand, when we're compromising, it's that we are seeing a pathway to being at peace, right? To being a sort of diplomatic and being able to create a win-win situation. On the other hand, the more negative expression of compromise is when we are giving away the farm, right? When out of a low sense of self-worth, perhaps, or self-esteem or self-confidence, we give away too much. And in that, then we're compromising ourselves as opposed to creating a win-win, suddenly now we're in a losing position. And, you know, not to make this a competition, that's not really what this is all about. Although look at the next word, competence. We have the, tomorrow maybe I will bring up these words again because I want to see what COMP, that prefix, might mean. Is it a com promise, a com petence? I don't know. I want to look those up. So tomorrow we'll look those words up and see if we can get a deeper meaning behind compromise and competence. And then that brings me to the word, so like competition, right? Which we also know is triggered in us for the next few days. So we'll take that deeper dive tomorrow. In the meantime, that is all I have for you today, which seems like a lot now that I'm done with it. So that is it for me. I hope you all have a wonderful day. I will see you tomorrow. I can't even believe it. Tomorrow will be Friday. We'll be taking a look at some card readings, perhaps, and at the energy for the coming weekend, the first full weekend in December. Ooh, there's probably Christmas parades to go to this weekend. I love it. All right, guys, take care. Have a wonderful day and see you tomorrow. Bye for now.